Thank you. Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you that your word is unchanging, but it is powerful. And we thank you, Lord, that today as we have been studying what it means to have the gift of faith, what it means to pray for more faith, more love, more power, that, Lord, today we pray for more of you, the indwelling Holy Spirit, more of you in our lives, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we know that we can have confidence in your promise to be with us forever, that you will never leave us or forsake us. This comes from Deuteronomy 31. It's an Old Testament promise that is quoted here in Hebrews. And Lord, we trust in it. The same with Psalm 118 that's quoted as well, Lord. We believe that you are a helper, that we do not have to fear, for you dwell in the hearts of your people. So Lord, as we talk today about what that means to belong to the family, to be in relationship with you, and to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and to have the talents and gifts that you have given to us in order to use them for your glory, Lord, speak mightily through your word today and touch our hearts, we pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we are working on the triangle that we're talking about, using August to talk about our relationship up, September talking about a relationship in, and in October we're going to talk about a relationship out. And as I was trying to figure out how can I hold myself accountable and others accountable in how we're doing with this, I was thinking, is there a way that I could remember this? I mean, up, in, and out is pretty simple, right? But is there a way that I could remember this that helps to put in my language? And so as I was praying about this, I asked the Lord, you know, is there a way that I could use the same language, but in a way that I could pray and consider this on a daily basis? And the words that came to me was, meet with the Father, meet with the family, and meet with friends. And same idea, in and out. And as we've been spending the time on the up, our relationship with God, the most important relationship that we have on this side of heaven, and certainly the most important relationship we're going to have when we get to heaven, is what does it mean to meet with the Father? Well, the thing that came in my mind was just the picture of the Father's heart, just the sense of the love the Father has for us, the belief that He was willing to send His Son into the world to die on the cross because He loved the world so much. Right? John 3:16. They didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That God is love in the purest sense. And when we talked about that, and we talked about more love, and we thought, what does it mean in Hebrews where it says God disciplines those He loves? What does that mean? And today I wanted to talk about what it means when we talk in the third article of the Creed in the Luther Small Catechism, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens the children of God. How many remember that from confirmation? A few of you, right? Did I get it right, or did you have other words in there? And sanctifies. Okay, I knew there was another one. Right. Good, Joanne. Way to go. I got two Joannes. Help me out here. That's good. Yeah. Calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies. And so it's okay for us as Lutheran Christians to talk about what does that mean? When the author of Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he's saying is that the Holy Spirit is going to be active in the lives of people the same way he was in Acts. He's going to be the same in the 21st century. Isn't that what it's saying? What did it say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't see any time limit on that, do you? No. And so I believe that it's really important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to do those things that we confess in the definition of the creed, in the article of the creed, that he still wants to call, he still wants to gather, that's what we're doing here. He wants to enlighten, which means he wants to bring the Word of God alive to his people. And he wants to sanctify us because, number one, our relationship with God is all about justification, right? I'm making that assumption here, and I better just clarify because I don't want anybody to leave here not knowing this. When Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, he did it all, right? Because the Father loved us so much, he sent his Son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins and we could have access and we could belong to the family of God, we could be children of God, and we could say, as it says in 1 John, that he is greater, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so we know we belong to the family. We are children of God. We are given the gift in our baptism as we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about more of God in our life, more of Jesus in our life, more of the Holy Spirit in our life, what we're saying is we want more of what God has given us right from the day we were baptized. He has started to sanctify us. He has called us. He is gathering us. He's enlightening us, and he's sanctifying us, and we want more of it. Why do we want more of it? Anybody? Because God's cool. Okay. The world needs Jesus. Exactly. As we become more like Jesus in sanctification, we can share that same heart, that same love, that same power, that same faith with people who need to know how much Jesus loves them, right? Can't give what you ain't got. Good point. All I'm saying is, this is the culmination of 4 weeks or 5 weeks of talking about a relationship with God, and I just don't want you leaving here today without understanding how blessed you are. Jesus died on the cross for you. He rose again for you. He ascended to the right hand of God for you, and he sent the Holy Spirit for you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He cares desperately about you. And he wants you to know that when we humble ourselves, that's why I kept the gospel lesson in there, because the gospel lesson is pretty cool. I think it's one of the neatest gospel lessons. Did you notice? Jesus is there in the Pharisee's house, and what does he do? Well, first of all, he asks them a question. And you notice, for Pharisees who usually have a lot to say, and for teachers of the law, he usually have a lot to say. Twice he asked them questions in chapter 14 of Luke's gospel. And what did they say? Nixed. Nothing. I thought that was significant. I would circle that if I were you in your Bible, because that doesn't happen very often. They usually have lots to say, but they didn't have anything to say. Why? Because they knew that it was a trick question. Because they knew, as soon as he healed that person, what were they going to say? God showed up and did something amazing, did a miracle. What were they going to say? Really? You shouldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath? I mean, and what I loved about that was then he started talking about sanctification, didn't he? Once they understood that it was God who wants to do these things, and it's God's day, and he wants to do these things on the Sabbath, he's going to do them. Then he starts talking about sanctification, and he asks them the question, you know, why do you take the place of honor? I love this. If you take the place of honor and someone more honorable than you shows up, what's the host going to do for it to you? He's going to come up to you and say, take a hike. Right? You're going to have to go way to the end of the line. Pardon me? Down the ladder. And it's going to be humiliated in front of everybody. How many of you have been humiliated before? Yeah, a few of you. Okay. You know what that how that feels? Not a pleasant feeling. Makes you go all red. At least it does with me. I look like a peach. You know, apple. Something like that. It's not a fun experience. Then he says something really profound. He says, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. And that's what I want to talk about today is the fact that God wants to exalt us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to lift us up. He wants us to stop trying to do things on our own power, try to do things on our own ability to love, try to do things on our own knowledge, try to do things on our own belief. And he wants to pour his Holy Spirit upon us, and he wants to do supernatural things in our lives so that when we talk about God, we will truly say, nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Because quite frankly, I'm tired, I think I've said this a few times, of churches that only do what they can do on their own power. They only budget what they think they can get from their from what the people in their congregation have as far as money. They only do things that they think they can manage with the people they already have. I'm not indicting any particular, I'm just saying, as a rule, this is the way we operate. And I'm tired of it. Because if we really believe what we say, if we believe, teach, and confess that our God is more powerful, more awesome, more bigger than anything else in all of creation, because he created it, then should we not have expectations that God can do amazing things among us so much bigger than what we think? Isn't it God who said his thoughts were so much higher than our thoughts and his ways so much higher than our ways? Is it not God who said that? Is it not Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, who says that we won't be, that he desires that we would be able to just get a glimpse of the reality of God's love, how wide, how high, and how deep the love of the Father is? Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, I want to invite you to pray with me for more of the Lord in our lives, because he wants to be more in our lives. Do you believe me? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he wants us 100%. He doesn't want just 10%. He doesn't want just 50%. He doesn't even just want 95%. He wants 100%. I would even go further. I think he wants 105, but I know it's not possible. So I think he'd be happy with 100. And so I'm going to invite you and challenge you as we start the school year, and we're going to be here in a place that I think is strategic to being able to reach people with the truth of God's love, of his faith, power, of his gifts. As we're situated right here, right now, I want to see a church, a people of God called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified, using the gifts that God has given them. Because one of the most frustrating things that I see in the church is that when you're a small church and you're in trying to do a big ministry, remember what I said? You should always do more than what you can do, and yet sometimes we feel that we have to make it happen, and so we really work hard. And then we get this thing that I think is really unique to Lutheran Germans. It's called duty. I think it's in other churches, but I just have experienced it from a German Lutheran point of view. Any of you heard that word before? It's a four-letter word. And it should remain there. A four-letter word. D-U-T-Y. The reason I say that is because so many people do things out of a sense of duty. And you know what? What the author of Hebrews is saying, he's saying, this: when we do things, we should do them out of respect for the authorities, the people that are sent to lead us, but that we should have joy. And that's a three-letter word, by the way. That's better. And I just believe that one of the reasons why people get frustrated and why our younger generation isn't so enamored with the church is because duty is not something that people get excited about anymore. How many of you get excited about, I'm going to do something because it's my duty? See, my grandma would have, you're German. I know you. See, my grandma would have got excited about that. She would have said, it is duty. And she would have said a big smile on her face, and she really would have been excited, okay? But I didn't grow up that way. I like to do things that I feel gifted at, that I can do well, and that I feel like it's not a huge amount of work, but it's a blessing to do. Any of you like to do that? For example, I don't do well at math. So if I were asked to be the treasurer of a congregation, it would be really bad. Better be thankful we have John. It would be really bad because that's not my gift. Okay? But I'm good with vision. So if you ask me to, you know, can you come and dream and talk about what could be, what maybe what the Lord wants it to be, well, then I'm in my element. But don't we all have those gifts like Mr. Nickelbein was talking about in the children's room? Don't we all have these gifts? And what I want to challenge you is, as you pray for more of Christ in your life, more of the Holy Spirit in your life, more of the blessings that God wants to pour out into your life, I pray that you will take the time to ask those tough questions. What are my gifts? We talked about Romans 12 gifts a while back. We call the personality gifts. Those are the talents you're born with. Remember those? We had a series on them. For those of you who weren't at that series, you can look it up when you get home. Romans chapter 12. Do you remember that? Repeat after. Chapter 12. Okay, 12 is a good number. Remember that. Important number. There were 12 apostles, 12 tribes. Romans chapter 12. Important. Okay? Those are the gifts that we have that we're born with. Now, what's amazing to me is that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of those gifts, He amplifies them, right? He amplifies those gifts. That's the way that sanctification works. When He gets a hold of those gifts that we're born with, and we start to use them for God's glory, and by His power, and through His faith, and through His love, it's amazing. It's like an amplification of those things. And then you throw in Ephesians chapter 4 gifts. Those are the offices, remember? What are they? Okay, apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers, right? Fivefold ministry, all right? You throw those in, those are office gifts, and those are important to the church because, again, you see different people, how they function in different ways, and you say, that person has that gift. And then you throw the supernatural gifts in that nobody wants to talk about, and I think we're going to talk about them because they're scary because, again, they're supernatural. And those are the gifts from, guess what? You see, God wants to make it simple on us. So when the people that are in the Bible, you know, canonizing Scripture and stuff, when they decided to put in the verses and chapters, you know what they were doing, but they were simplifying it for us. God was leading them to simplify it. Because remember what I said? Where were the personality gifts in? Romans chapter. Guess where charismata or the supernatural gifts are? In 1 Corinthians. Don't you think that's cool? So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Check it out. Our gifts that the Lord wants to give to His people. He wants us to pray the prayer, we want more of You in our lives. And as we pray that prayer, if we're open, the Holy Spirit will call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify us. He will give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to the right hand of God so He could pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, that power from above, and we can live and have more of Christ in our life, and we can be better witnesses to the people at the coming to Eastern, better witnesses to our family and friends, and we can grow in our relationship with God, our up relationship, our meeting the Father relationship. We can get a glimpse of Him. So I want to close today by asking you to watch a video of a song that I really like, and I want to ask you to do something for me, and this is an invitation and a challenge. If you're a visitor with us today, I'm going to invite you to do this as well. You don't have to sign. We at the back, we have two surveys, and everybody's going to go, oh, surveys, yuck. How many of you are just, when I said the word surveys, are just wanting to crawl underneath your chair? Okay, because it's you know, a lot of surveys in our life, don't we? Right? If Dave Baker was here, I'd kind of ask him why, but anyways. We get a lot of surveys in our life, and a lot of times we wonder, are they of any use? And I have to tell you, honestly, I have to confess to you, that I have been guilty as a pastor of asking people to fill these out and then not using them. But I'm going to commit to you right now that if you take these home and prayerfully consider the invitation and the challenge that I'm giving to you to fill these out, to sign that you took them, fill them out, I will, with the help of Joanne and Paul and others, we will put these on the computer and we will try to match the things that need to be done in the work of the church to the giftedness that you have from God. So that there will be true joy when you do those things rather than a sense of, oy vey. It is my duty. It is your duty. It is your duty to fill this out. If that's what moves you, then it is your duty. And you can say as the Lord did, we just did our duty. Oh, that's why I love it here. I could come with nothing and you guys would just fill in the blanks. So I thought we should have a time where we could really ask the Lord to put it upon our hearts and to really get us to a point where we would be ready to run out there after church and sign up for these surveys and take the time to do them. The other thing is, don't just fill them out so you can say, I did my duty and I gave Pastor this so that he doesn't bug me anymore. Because that's not what I want, because I don't like filling them out, just so you know. So I'm with you on this, okay? But I think they're going to be of value. So please take as much time as you need. Prayerfully consider it. If you're a visitor, take them home with you. If you want to give them to us, we will work with them. But it's just so important that you be able to identify the gifts and the blessings that God has given to you so you can use those gifts and use that area that you have been blessed with so that you can really be in an area where God will give you great joy as you shine for Him and as you live for Him. As you hear the video, as you watch it, I want you to prayerfully consider and just accept the invitation and the challenge between you and the Lord as you watch this video. The invitation that I give to you today is not an invitation from me. It's an invitation from our Lord, who will never leave us or forsake us, who is always there for us, who says we're not to be afraid, but to receive what He has for us. And He's given you such great gifts. He's given you amazing gifts. And He wants to give you more. So please prayerfully consider the challenge. Because I believe the Lord has great things in store for His people. May our heart's attitude be the same as John the Baptist, who when he's seen, he said, I must become less. That Jesus would truly shine as the Lamb of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we spent this whole month talking about our relationship with God the Father, who loves the world so much that He sent You, His only begotten Son, into the flesh to be the once and for all sacrifice. And Lord, in that relationship that we have with You, we recognize that You want to continue to pour out the gift of faith, to pour out more power, more love, more of Your gifts into our lives. And so, Lord, now we ask that You would help us to respond to what we have received, and to use the gifts in our life for Your glory. Lord, help us as we're about to receive your supper, to know that everything we are, everything we have, the fact that we belong to you is nothing that we can do on our own. This is justification. This is free, a free gift of grace. But Lord, as we live out our life, as we are called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified, Lord, during that time, we want to serve you. We want to know you more. We want to have that relationship, intimate relationship that the word yada, the Hebrew word for know, means. It's an intimate relationship that is a mystery. Yet, Lord, we want to have that relationship with you. So thank you, Lord, for inviting us and challenging us to be your disciples. And help us, if we accept the challenge, Lord, to really find out what the gifts are that we have, so we may use them for your glory and find great joy in all that we do. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name.